Word of mouth.
This is Word of Mouth from New Hampshire Public Radio. I'm Virginia Prescott. The afternoons are darkening, the trees are bare, and the furnace is snapping on. It is November in New England. We shift indoors and enjoy some quiet time before the holidays come barreling in. It's a great time for movies, when the studios trot out their Oscar contenders and the crush of holiday blockbusters have yet to arrive with guns blaring, special effects thrusting. Not that there's anything wrong with it, right, Amy?
Not at all.
That's Amy Diaz, editor and film critic for The Hippo. She and film consultant and commentator, and now director of the Orson Welles Complex, Garen Daly, are with us to talk movies. Hello, Garen.
Hi, guys.
Specifically, what to see between now and Thanksgiving. Garen, let's start with you. Any big themes in the fall movie crop?
Actually, there is one, survival. If you take a look at it, All Is Lost, 12 Years of a Slave, and a couple of other films all dealt with individuals being forced to survive on their own with their own wits. And I tend to think that this might have something to do with our political climate right now, that's when you start seeing a series of films like that are being successful, it somehow taps into the zeitgeist of the moment. And I do believe that we are in this thing where we feel like we're alone and we have to struggle to get through it. So that's why 12 Years, All Is Lost, and some of these other films seem to be doing well at the box office.
What do you think, Amy? Any big themes for you?
Well, you know, and I think what kind of goes along with that is that those are not going to be your teenage boy superhero movies. You know, what I noticed is that a lot of the movies from this fall, the ones that I really enjoyed, like Gravity, even, you know, movies that are more kind of human-centered, Enough Said, Don John, these are going to be slow build movies, and Gravity was a huge success from the start, but Enough Said and Don John have been kind of constant successes, and they're more adult films too.
We might add that so let's hear a little bit about the film. Let's hear a clip from the film Gravity, which is directed by the Mexican director Alfonso Cuarón. We have mission specialist Ryan Stone, that's Sandra Bullock, has become detached from her shuttle, and she's being talked down by Matt Kowalski, played by George Clooney.
Astronaut is off structure. Dr. Stone is off structure. Dr. Stone, detach. You must detach. If you don't detach, that arm's going to carry you too far. Listen to my voice. You need to focus. I'm losing.
Amy, it's kind of a surprise to me that a film with pretty much just two astronauts in space for the whole film can hold us. How does it work?
Well, you know, I think it's a couple of things. These are great actors. If you're going to be stuck in space with two people, might as well be Sandra Bullock and George Clooney. I think they play off each other really well. George Clooney is kind of the most George Clooney he could be. He is super optimistic and capable. I've seen reviews that compare him to Buzz Lightyear, and that is kind of what he is. Sandra Bullock is probably the most human an astronaut could be. She is kind of relentlessly pessimistic about their chances, but somehow it works. They have kind of good chemistry. And then there are the just fantastic special effects, to the point where I think I was about halfway through this movie when I started thinking to myself, like, wow, they did a good job shooting this. Like, they'd shot it in space. And then I had to, like, no, they didn't shoot it in space. This is, you know, I'm watching really good, really seamless special effects.
Well, Garen, you talked about survival, but one of the things that struck me is a number of films in really confined spaces.
Yeah.
Like, we have Robert Redford, almost wordless role in
Correct.
This film, All Is Lost. He's a sailor whose boat is taking on water. Captain Phillips, based on this true story of a merchant marine whose container ship was seized by Somali pirates. Is this a kind of rejection of this jet-setting, multi-location, you know, kind of flair we've come to expect from the thriller?
I don't think it's a rejection of it. I think we're getting back to some of the basics of basic movie telling. And these are good stories that center on a central character. And, you know, like with Gravity, one of the reasons Gravity works is because we know that every 90 minutes or so, there's just going to be this meteor shower. So that three acts, we know it's coming, so the audience is prepared. When you look at these movies, the filmmakers have told us story that is so strong that you know something is going to happen next. You don't quite know what it is, but you feel comfortable enough to know that the story is going to be told in a good way with good actors and good editing. And that maturity is something that we've seen in movies a long time ago and now making a resurgence.
Amy, you're rooting for a more traditional thriller escape plan. Tell us what the draw is for you.
Oh, the draw is awesomeness. So Escape Plan is a movie that will be on nobody's top 10 list at the end of this year. Stars Sylvester Stallone and Arnold Schwarzenegger, those two great thespians. Sylvester Stallone, who is in his late 60s, let's remember, plays a guy who for a living breaks out of prisons to prove their security weaknesses, because there is nothing more believable than a giant guy in his late 60s shimmying through an air duct.
Let's just hear a little clip from the film. Here is Sylvester Stallone, and in a, basically a lucrative deal with the CIA, I guess, goes wrong with this private prison company. And Jim Caviezel almost twisting his mustache as the warden. Let's hear that.
Mr. Portos, your intake is finished.
Wait! My evacuation code is 310275.
Evacuation code?
Yes, evacuation code.
Meaning you give me a number and you walk out of here free as a bird? I don't think so. You're here now, and you belong to me.
Okay, probably not on the Oscar contender list.
I would say none of those actors are probably on the short list. But, you know, I have to say, I kind of also really enjoy a movie where everyone's having a lot of fun. Clearly, James Caviezel, who was the warden in that, you know, he is obviously having the most fun an actor could have, being as big and hammy as an actor could be. And, you know, Sylvester Stallone, like, why do they even give him dialogue? I don't know. But he's also having a lot of fun. You know, I have to say, for kids who grew up in the 80s watching Stallone and Schwarzenegger, watching them together is just kind of, you know, it's just a thrill. It's really fun.
Well, okay, so they probably won't get an Oscar, but there is some buzz about Tom Hanks already. Oscar contender, Sandra Bullock, all familiar to Oscar voters. Any other predictions?
There are a lot of Oscar contenders out there, and some of them haven't even come out yet. We're talking about Tom Hanks. I think Tom Hanks might get it for Saving Mr. Banks, which is a film that's coming out around Christmas time, where he plays Walt Disney.
No.
I mean, he does. He plays Walt Disney to Emma Thompson's as the writer of Mary Poppins, and it's the relationship of him wooing her to be able to put Mary Poppins on screen, because he promised his grandkids he would do that. The buzz on it is very, very strong. So that's another one that looks like it could get some Oscar nominations. We've got Philomena coming up.
Judy Dench.
With Judy Dench, which is our annual Judy Dench. Let's make sure that she marches to the Oscar film.
Well, there's a spot already for her in the nomination, so they got to fill it by having her.
It's a legacy spot, isn't
exactly,
it?
Exactly, yes.
So anyway, there are a number of really good films that are coming up.
All right, neither of you have mentioned The Fifth Estate or The Counselor, which Salon apparently called the worst movie ever made. Thoughts on either film, or how did Ridley Scott get it so wrong?
Actually, some people think that that's just, you know, that the critics got it wrong. Mm-hmm.
But I'm not one of those people. I don't know that I would say the worst movie ever made, but it is a very strong contender, I think.
Yeah, and I think when you go back to Fifth Estate, I don't think it's that bad of a film, but I think we as Americans do not want to see ourselves through our government's eyes. We just rather put blinders on and not realize that there was something.
It's too much to take.
You know, I loved the Cumberbatch. Benedict Cumberbatch was in The Fifth Estate.
You call him the Cumberbatch?
The Cumberbatch. But, you know, I also felt that movie was a lot of laptops. And I think a movie with people is going to be more exciting than a movie about laptops.
14 pages in The Guardian, 12 in The New York Times. This is more coverage than all the leaks we have had combined. We're winning an information war, which goes beyond any short-term alliance we have with the mainstream media. You want to throw it all away because you fear that some U.S. government informer might come to harm?
These are human beings, Julian. And their lives are at stake.
Wondering what to watch before the holiday movies come blaring into theaters in a couple weeks? Well, we've got two of our most reliable film buffs, Amy Diaz and Garen Daly, with a few recommendations and some predictions, as you'll be hearing, for fall movies. Amy, you mentioned something about, you know, the grown-upness of Don John, and also Enough Said. Now, that's with Julia Louis-Dreyfus and James Gandolfini in his last role. Kind of grown-up, middle-aged love. A lot of people have been saying the romantic comedy formula has been out of gas for a long time. Is it finally ready to grow up?
Well, I think, you know, anytime you can do something a little different with it. You know, what was great about Enough Said is that it is, because part of the movie is kind of one of these, you know, things where she's dating James Gandolfini, but he doesn't realize that she also knows his ex-wife. If you reshot that movie with, like, Kate Hudson and Anne Hathaway, that would be intolerable. But there's something about, you know, the fact that you're dealing with older characters and that there's this great subplot about both Julia Louis-Dreyfus and James Gandolfini watching their daughters go off to college. So there's this, like, emotional heft that comes into this story, which could have just been, yeah, in different hands with different actors, kind of a terrible, you know, standard rom-com. I think anytime you do something a little different with it, that helps re-energize the genre.
Well, what about horror films during this dark time of year? What do you think of the new adaptation of Stephen King's Carrie? Any thoughts?
Oh, this was not one of my favorite
films. You were scared, huh?
I was scared, but probably not for the reason they would have wanted me to be scared. You know, I couldn't tell what the movie was trying to do. Is it playing off the original? Is it a parody? Is it a comedy? There were certainly some moments where I thought that. But there have been, I think, some good horror movies recently. Insidious Chapter 2 did this weird thing that you never see. It was a good horror sequel. That is so rare, I actually think people should go see it in the theaters.
Well, no, I think that I think the horror film genre is one of the areas where you're seeing some real creativity. I don't know if you saw We Are What We Are or Stakeland by Jim Mickle. I mean, here's a new young horror director who's using horror in a different kind of way, in the fact that the horror is part of the story, but the main focus of the film is usually about family.
You know, You Are Next was also had, like, different
again,
components.
Yes.
That was a horror movie. Again, had some family components, some class things going on there. And I think horror is one of those genres where they've really been able to reinvent themselves, where you can do things at low budget and it can still be really grab audiences.
And it makes money, too. That's just
yeah.
it.
All right, Amy, what are some of the movies on the docket that you're looking forward to? You mentioned The Wolf of Wall Street. Anything else?
Well, you know, I am almost never the one to say this romantic comedy, but I'm actually kind of looking forward to a movie called About Time that opened in Boston today, and I think it'll spread in the coming weeks. This is by Richard Curtis, who's the guy that did Love Actually, Four Weddings from a Funeral. So that is the rare romantic comedy I'm actually looking forward to. I mentioned Wolf of Wall Street. Inside Llewyn Davis, this is the new Coen Brothers movie. I'll watch anything the Coen Brothers do.
Actually, Garen, that was on your list too. Let's listen to just a clip of that. It's kind of about a down on his luck folk singer, Llewyn Davis, sounding a little bit like the young Bob Dylan, in this case discussing his musical partner's suicide.
What'd you say you played?
Folk songs.
Folk songs. Solo act?
No, I had a partner.
Threw himself off the George Washington Bridge.
George Washington Bridge? You throw yourself off the Brooklyn Bridge, traditionally. George Washington Bridge. Who does that?
If I had wings.
Speaking to the inimitable voice of John Goodman there. Why Inside Llewyn Davis?
Well, first of all, it's a Coen film, but it's also, again, it's tapping into that older demographic who remember the folk scare of 1968. And again, you've got some really good actors in it. It's going to be a good film no matter what. I mean, it's gotten good buzz. There's a film that I'm interested in that I don't know a lot about because I haven't seen it yet. It's called The Book Thief, which is about...
Oh, yes. Oh, that's Jeffrey Rush.
Yes.
And Emily Watson, yeah. I think, yeah.
Yeah, and it's about a young girl.
Holocaust film.
Holocaust film. But it looks like it's going to be a really good film, a film that's going to have a lot of heft. There's also Old Boy, which is coming out, which is the remake of the Korean film with Josh Brolin in the role. So that's another anticipated film. And, of course, I love animation films. I'm looking forward to Frozen. Here's why I really want to look at it. It's one of those Disney fairy tales, but it is the first Disney film ever directed by a woman.
Huh.
First one.
Wow, I'm a little stunned to hear that this is the first one, but bravo for that. Garen, you gave us the uh-oh sign for Anchorman 2. Amy, you going to let him get away with that?
Anchorman is one of those movies that I saw it and I thought to myself, this is the dumbest thing I've ever seen. I love it. So I can't wait for Anchorman 2.
Here's the uh-oh that I have is I liked Anchorman and I loved all the jokes in it, but I'm just wondering whether the humor is past. Whether that it was time specific and that these guys are now in their 50s, late 40s and 50s, and it's just gone. So I'm a little nervous about it.
Well, what gives me hope is actually it's written by Adam McKay and Will Ferrell.
Correct.
And it's directed by Adam McKay. So any movie where they have the kind of the control, the creative control, those comedies are usually the better of the Will Ferrell comedies as opposed to the ones where he's just a star but doesn't really have a handle in the script. So I'm looking forward to it.
Any other uh-ohs on your list?
Well, let's see. There is Ender's Game. That's an uh-oh. It's the young adults sci-fi thing about a 15-year-old boy who saves the universe as we know it. And I'm really tired of the 15-year-old boy saving the universe as we know it, because, you know, no 15-year-old boy can probably save their face.
Harrison Ford is probably also very tired of 15-year-old boy.
So, but I mean, I've seen the film. It's adequately, great special effects.
That'll be on the poster, adequate special effects.
Yeah, but it's like, really, who cares about a 15-year-old skinny boy?
Well, I think we care about Harrison Ford, and he's the vehicle there. But any, you know, Amy, of course, the holidays are a great time for family films. What are you thinking of taking the kids to? We already heard that Garen is looking forward to Frozen.
Well, you know, I think any animated film is going to do well just because it's there, because you have to take kids to it. So there's a movie coming out, Free Bird. I haven't seen that one yet.
Garen's making the choking sign.
Not great things about it, but I'll bet it still does okay because it's an animated movie in theaters.
Okay. Well, they had to change the name because the original name was Turkeys.
Too accurate?
Too accurate. I mean, you can just see the lines. Turkeys, yes.
This is not the Lynyrd Skynyrd Free Bird.
No. This is about turkeys who are going back in time to try to prevent themselves from being on the Thanksgiving
menu. Right, they're
going to
change the menu during the pilgrims.
Well, okay, we've your Thanksgiving meal, perhaps preempted by Amy Diaz, editor and film critic for The Hippo. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
And Garen Daly, film buff and director of the Orson Welles Complex. Great to have you with us.
My pleasure.
You can find a complete list of Garen and Amy's recommendations and view some clips. That's all at wordofmouthradio.org. You can also find us at Word of Mouth Radio on Facebook and at Word of Mouth on Twitter.